Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Sherry Denham and Dr. John Townsend, and your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. We're glad you're with us here today on New Life Live.
I loved your show. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What can we do for you?
I should talk to a therapist.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you definitely need...
I should go unload on somebody.
What's the question about that?
Whether I'm saved, because I'm just nuttier than a fruitcake.
Well, as Steve said, if being nutty can't equal being saved, he and I are in trouble as well, especially him.
That's the first really honest thing I think I've heard you say, and I'm not trying to be mean. That sounded honest.
And you work at listening to her.
Your mom is a marriage vulture, and she sits on your shoulder, and what you want her to become is a hummingbird. Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here. As I said earlier, Dr. John Townsend joining me. Hey, John.
Hey, Steve.
And Dr. Sherry Denham.
Hello.
Hey, you know, it's July the 18th, and just a month ago was my birthday on June the 18th. I'll tell you, it was traumatic.
Traumatic? Why?
Well, I turned 58, and when you're 58, everything hurts. And you know what? If it doesn't hurt, it doesn't work anymore. I mean, that's just the way it gets. And, you know, I'm waking up and it feels like the morning after and nothing happened the night before. I mean, it's a tough deal. And I just have to accept that I've gone from sowing wild oats to shredded wheat. And that's ugly. And I don't know, there's something about 58. I want to rock. I love a rocking chair, but it's hard to get it started. It's hard to get it started. But anyway, I'm glad that you guys are with me here today at 58.
I have a theory about that.
All right, let's hear it.
I don't think I'm in denial. And please, guys, you tell me if I am. But I really think it's a bad idea to obsess on your age after 30. Because I think it makes you old inside.
Yeah.
Right. I would think that's true. I think that's why women do pretty well, to forget their age or to always be 39.
I think the people that kind of go, well, it's really how I'm feeling and functioning in my relationships and my activities, they can be in their 80s and they don't think about it. It's the ones that are thinking about it a lot that get older inside.
But if you're a speaker and you preach and you want to have something humorous, you may want to think it through so you can come up with some things to share without getting older on the inside. I hope.
You don't seem a day over.
No. Over something.
Over
39.
57. Now, I think you ought to stop counting it at probably 29 would be a good age just to get it. We're not even going.
Steve, you've got little ones at home. You've got kids. You've got a house full of kids and a wife. Any father of a household full of kids has some aches and pains. You know, just because they've been crawling over you all night long.
Five kids, 2 to 20.
Give your life a report card based on the fruit, not a report card based on the age.
Right.
That's
nice.
Then you stay young.
Yeah.
I did have my little boy crawling all over me.
Thank you. So, you know, Exactly. So, you know, you probably have, you know, little love bruises.
Well,
there,
I tell you, sleeping with him is better than sleeping with Ben Gay. I guarantee you that. All right, let's go over here and let's talk with Michael from Martinsburg, West Virginia. WAVA is the station. Hello there, Michael.
Yes, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly. How you doing today?
I'm doing okay. How are you all doing?
Michael, I just love that you're the first person on our program. Let me tell you why. Because you have energy.
Cool.
It's a good launch for our show.
It sure is.
Thanks for, you know, jumping in here. We're going to solve all the problems. Give us a little snapshot of the problem, because we're going to a break and we'll be noodling about it during the break.
Okay, I'm at a crossroad with my marriage. Things are not doing well. Saying to my wife, I'm 100% to blame, and it takes to tango when you're in a marriage. It's not just one person, but two people that work a marriage. Problems happen with both. She said, you want it fixed? You do it yourself. And I says, I can't fix it myself. We both got to fix it together. The physical violence is what's really getting to the point. I can't doze on a couch without her going off on me. I can't go to bed early because I'm tired. She goes off on me.
All right.
I've called the cops three times for domestic violence.
She's hitting you?
Women are capable.
She's hitting you.
I'm going clear. I got the divorce.
We'll be back right after this.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion. Maybe you need a marriage tune-up. Maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. We're talking with Michael from Martinsburg, West Virginia. We don't get a lot of calls like this, but if I understand it correctly, your wife's hitting you.
Yes, she thinks it's okay to hit me because she says, you've hurt me verbally and emotionally. And, yeah, I've gotten angry and said things in frustration. But she says, I have a right to hit you. It's self-defense. I says, no, it's not self-defense. Not when I fall asleep and you cut me. Not when you throw my back out to the point where I got to go to the chiropractor.
Okay.
That's
so
domestic violence.
What's the question that you have for us? We feel very, very badly about your situation.
My question is now, as at a crossroads, do I proceed with a divorce at this point because nothing's working? I've tried to, 6 years I've been going through this. The marriage was good for the first 2 years. Her mom died, and then at that point she got angry with God.
Michael, Michael, hold on a second.
Yes.
When people say nothing's working, we three, Sherry and Steve and I, need to know what have you tried that's not working so we can kind of check stuff off our checklist.
Yes.
So tell us what you've attempted.
I will come up to you and say, what can I do for you? You want to go out, go to the dance hall, and I know you like to dance. You want to go to a movie. You want to just, what's bothering you? Let's talk it out. She says, no, I've told you everything. I'm not repeating myself. And she tries to tell me something because I'm ADHD and I don't catch it and I ask her to repeat it. She says, I don't repeat things. You know how I am. And she says, you want this marriage to work? You fix it. You ruined it.
Hey, Michael.
Yes?
You there? We're talking about a crisis where you're calling cops to your home and asking her if she wants to go out and talk. It's a little bit like if you said, I've got a fever of 108 and I've got the shakes, and instead of antibiotics, I'm going to go get three supplements. You don't do a critical marriage problem with supplements like, let's go take a walk and connect. You've got a big problem, and you need to bring professionals in here.
Sure.
So where's the professionals for a marriage that's in ICU, buddy?
I have gone twice through marriage counseling, professional marriage counseling. And
do you mean two seasons of
do what they do?
You mean
they
two?
Tell her things, and she'll say yes there, but she refuses. Says, "I told you, I'm not doing anything to help this marriage. You ruined it. You fix it,
Michael."
And I'm at a point where I don't think marriage counseling is going to work. And I'm
Michael.
Yes.
Okay. Now you're kind of going off on a rant there, buddy.
Just take some breaks in your thoughts because we want to interact with you more.
We're going to assume that you've done everything you can. But we're going to tell you what, in most cases, when there's a stalemate like this, what people do that produces the best result the most of the time. And I got to tell you, the list doesn't start with, I've done marriage counseling. Because you and your wife need to go, and she needs to say yes in there and then not follow it. And then you need to go back, and she does that again. And, you know, eventually the counselor picks up on it, and then he's helping you to solve it. But the two of you need to get some help, professional help, like John is saying. That's one part of this thing. What about your church life? You guys going to church together?
I go to church. She refuses. She gets angry. She says, I'll go to church when things get better. Go together. I says, no. I'm not stopping church. Church is too important. I'm going with or without you.
Yeah, okay.
Michael,
I refuse to stop.
Michael, do you talk with her like you're talking with us right now?
No, I don't.
Show us how you talk to her.
She gets in my face and starts screaming. I walk away. I try to cool off, come back, try to re-talk and build it up again. But I can't get nothing works.
The only reason I ask that is because just sitting with you here, it kind of winds me up.
I'm sorry. I guess I'm getting a little bit upset. I'm talking about it. I can't get upset, and some anger starts building up.
Yeah.
Because I'm tired of 6 years of being a domestic beat up and hit all the time. Just to the point where I've told her, I can't take it much more because I'm ready to snap, and I'm afraid if I snap, I'm going to do something and hit her so bad. I'm going to regret it.
So you know what? You know what you may need to do, Michael? You may need to get a restraining order. If you're to the point where you are so wound up that you think you might hurt her.
On himself?
He said.
Did you mean get a restraining order on himself?
For her. Like, so that he is protected. Like, restraining order to restrain her. Yeah, he's getting beat up. By his wife.
On her.
Correct.
Oh, I thought you meant
no,
get one of yourself
on
so you
her.
Won't hit her. Okay.
Yes, because he's saying, I'm getting to the point where I might hurt her. You need to get some help because I can hear it. You are so wound.
I know I need help because if my marriage is over, I'm going to need a lot of help before I'm even ready to consider the dating life, at least a couple years.
Well, let us tell you some things that you could do. One would be.
Michael, can you hear me okay? Okay, good. Here's the principle, is when there is increased escalation of out of control, there must be increased structure. When people are not using words, it's like when your three-year-old is hitting you and you say, use your words, don't hit, use your words. That's how people grow up and become adults and say civilized. You guys, I mean, you're tending towards it and she's already doing it. So you got to increase structure. Sherry had a great idea. So here's what I would recommend. You go to a counselor. And if she goes, great. If she doesn't go, great. And you say, I'm going to talk to my counselor about professional things, about helping me fix whatever I got to fix, and you doing whatever you're going to do. But you must go, even if she doesn't go. And at some point, the counselor, if they're good, they'll say, it's never okay that she hits you, and they will probably say restraining order is a great idea. But here's the thing, is you get derailed by her. We felt it from you. We heard it from you. She's affecting you in really deep ways. So you've got to be able to detach from her, get the professional help, and make the right choices. We're going to send you boundaries in marriage, but there's lots of boundaries problems you need help with, but you cannot not go to marriage counseling right now, whether she's there or not, or present or not.
Whether she's there or not, you go.
I think that's great counsel. And the other thing that I would encourage you to do, Michael, is I would, you know, I don't know what you've done to look into ADD, adult ADD, but I would have you go look to what you need to do to get healed from adult ADD, ADHD, because that part of the brain, the prefrontal cortex, if there's not enough blood flow in that part of the brain, one of the things that we struggle with is impulse control, forethought, planning. It's the brakes of the brain. It kind of helps us. Yep. So if you're struggling with your brakes, it's kind of like your pads are low on your car brakes, you know, and you cannot have that kind of resistance that you need. So I would say get help for that because that is something you own and you can get help for yourself.
All right. I'm glad that you called. We'll send you boundaries in marriage. Hope that'll be a blessing to you and help you. Let's go to Carrie from Ringling, Oklahoma. She listens online. Hello, Carrie.
Hi.
Hi there.
Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
I work with kids in a high-risk rural area, and I promise I'll tell my story quickly, and I have a two-fold question. One of our kids has been with us since he was 7, and now he's about 18, and so I feel pretty invested in him. And I just found out today that he's going to face a jury next week for some sort of sexual offense at his high school. And I'm struggling because I actually saw this coming a long time ago and really tried to find help for him and was unsuccessful. And his parents were pretty happy with what was already being provided to the state. But the first question, I'm supposed to go visit him before he goes to trial, and I'm struggling with how to respond towards him, especially, I'm finding myself feeling kind of sick right now, especially. I was abused by a teenager when I was a kid, And that's, I care about him, I want to be for him, but I'm not really sure how to respond. And the other question is there anything that I and our ministry can do when the next kid like him comes along to help his, reroute the direction? I know it's a complicated situation, but...
Well, so the question is, I hear three questions, if I get it. One is, how do I handle that kind of sick feeling I feel? And secondly, how do I help this kid? And then thirdly, how do I help other kids? Is it three questions?
Actually, I guess it is. I put in the part about myself. And, yeah, really, it is how to respond to him with those sick feelings. So I guess I thought that is one thing.
By the way, was your own abuse reported to the authorities at the time?
That was so long ago, I have no idea where he is now. So
okay, we're going to want you to hang on the line and talk to some of my professionals, because you just never know about that. You just got to take care of stuff like that when there's abuse, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what he's telling you, or what your experience is telling you, is that you're not done. There's still hurt, and there's baggage from what was done. Because, our hat's off to you. If you're doing care for kids like this, and thank you so much for working in areas that nobody's... These are the kids that are sort of getting marginalized, so thank you so much. And so when a kid has a sexual offense and you feel something inside you, it tells you there's a wound there, and you tied it into your own situation that I got to deal with. So it means you got to get your own help and finish up and get your counseling.
Okay.
And if you go and see him, your presence is much more important than any kind of words that would come out of your mouth. Just the fact that you're there is enough. And so I think you just keep it simple. How you doing? What do you think? How are you feeling about this? How are you feeling about your court date coming up? You just keep it at that level, especially since you have a wound there. And I think he'll really appreciate you showing up, and I think that'll be a great thing.
That sounds simple. I can do that.
Sure.
Yeah, the point is, God gave us a great ability to draw on different parts of ourselves. You know, David says in Psalm 139, it says, "Search me and know me and try my heart." Like, there's different parts of us, and God wants us to try them and evaluate them. And so that kind of little girl part of you in the old days that still needs to get some healing, that you tell that part, and I'm not using words here, but... You know, okay, you're in the car now when I'm visiting this kid, because this isn't good for you. But my adult parts, who I'm a caretaker, I know this kid, I'm invested in him, I've known him 10 years, I'm bringing that part of myself out to care for him, to ask him how he's doing, to give advice, to be there for him. And then you pull yourself together later. So you just bring out the healthy parts of you that can help the kid, and you put the other parts sort of in a safe place. Mm. That's what we all do.
All right, well said, and thank you for calling, and let me send you a copy of Healing is a Choice. I hope that will
be... You know, Where is God is good about that, too. It's got some stuff about that situation.
It's not as good as Healing is a Choice, but
no.
I'm going to send you...
nothing
where,
is,
where
really.
Is God? No.
I mean, there's the Bible, and then there's Healing is a Choice.
Where is God is a great book. We'll send that to you also. Ruth from Mount Holly, New Jersey. WFIL is the station. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you guys?
Doing all
good.
Right. This is the Ruth that went to Israel.
Yes, it is. I feel like I'm reconnecting with some old friends.
Well,
Ruth,
you
are.
This is
Hello.
Great.
Hello.
How you
Hi,
doing?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
So good to hear your voice.
What did you think about the trip? What was the experience like for you?
Oh, I thought it was an amazing trip. I didn't really know exactly what to expect, but it was exhausting. But in a good way.
Yeah,
we all three agree.
We were talking about that.
Just seeing the culture and all the different sites, it was just really, a powerful experience, and met some really wonderful people, which was just icing on the cake.
Yeah,
which made it that much more fun. But it was just an amazing experience, trip of a lifetime.
The three of us spoke over there. Was there any particular talk that really hit home with you? Something that changed your life?
Oh, well, Steve, what can I tell you? You're the best, But then again, John, you're the best.
I'll tell you. I thought everybody did something so different. And I loved Sherry's characterization of Mary and then Martha. But, John, you really did some great stuff there that a lot of people related to. Well, Ruth, would you tell people to join us for other stuff?
Oh, absolutely. It's just, it's a wonderful group to be with, because even if you don't know a lot of people going into the trip, you know, you just share a common bond, and it's just a safe place where you can really open up with people. And to me, that's very healing.
Yeah.
And I enjoy that as much as anything.
It's the just, cool thing was, I thought, you know, and it's like there were two Israels, or there are.
Yeah.
There was the ancient Israel, Moses, Jesus, David, and there is modern Israel with 1967 lines in Golan Heights. And it was really good kind of putting those two Israels together.
Sure was. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, and we had a great tour guide. I was on the blue bus with David, and he just told very personal stories that really just made you connect.
Yeah, he was great.
With the people side of it. It wasn't just history and, you know, biblical history. He made it very personal, and that was very touching to me. I really enjoyed that, because I felt like I got a better insight of, you know, what Israelis are living with, you know, in modern times.
It's kind of like we knit them into our heart just by being there.
Yep. Okay, Ruth, thanks for calling us. God bless you. I'll send you one of these shopping bags we have now.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
Hey, we're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Sherry Denham and Dr. John Townsend and your wonderful phone calls. Now, let's talk with DJ from Azusa, California. KKLA is the station. Hello, DJ.
Hello. Hi.
How's it going?
I'm doing good. I'm just so excited to be on the show.
Why are you excited?
I've been calling since the morning until now.
Oh, okay. Well,
thanks,
we're glad
for hanging in there,
yeah,
DJ.
Yeah, glad you did. What's going on in your life?
I'm just calling because it's been 2 years of my let me make a long story short. I just ended a 10-year relationship, and it's been 2 years now.
How old are you?
And I am 33.
And you dated somebody for 10 years?
Yes.
Wow, that's a long time, isn't it?
Yes, I know. And then when we were about to get married, and I found out, I mean, it's been three times already that, she is being, cheating on me. And so this time I don't want to give another chance anymore because my heart was just too hurting, you know.
Well, that's rough. That is really rough. What's the question for us?
The question is, how should I, it's been 2 years now, so I think I'm ready, and so how should I, restart my dating, and plus, I've been hearing your show, and you mentioned about that we should date, like, seven more people before we settle down, right?
Well, for some people it's 10, for some it's 20, but it certainly isn't one, that's for sure. You need to date some people.
I'm a 20 guy myself for you,
and
DJ.
And my question is, because I'm 33 now, so, I mean, I don't think I have that much time.
Yes, you do.
You've got 50 years at least.
You don't have enough time to marry somebody that's going to destroy your life.
You
that's
don't have time. You don't have time to not take the time, DJ.
Right.
Oh, I see.
You've just been burning daylight for 10 years. So you might be kind of feeling that out of the chute because you've spent 10 years with one woman who continued to show herself unfaithful.
It's almost a decade.
Yeah. So the fact that you've now made a really hard decision, but the right decision, and now you're free. You've got the freedom to go back out there, right?
Yeah.
I would say it's really important that you go and you kind of, I'd say pick up the book, How to Find a Date Worth Keeping by Dr. Henry Cloud, because you want to get kind of a sense of what's out there, right? A variety of different people, just so, you know, especially if you've been in a long-term relationship. So you just kind of get your sea legs back on again. And, you know, it's not about going out on a date and marrying, you know, going out with the intent of I'm going to marry number one or number two. You're just going out to meet some good people and good women and trying to see which one kind of floats to the surface.
But isn't it like, I'm not sure about, because my question is, by doing so, isn't it in the same time kind of like wasted other person's time and love and maybe can kind of create hurt?
No, because you may circle back around. You know, I dated 20 people. John and Henry said, Steve, date 20 people before you settle down to one. I married number three, but I completed the assignment.
That, yes.
So you're not hurting somebody or doing something that's deceptive. You're just having a good time with somebody.
Hey, DJ, in your family of origin, was there some person you had to sort of take care of emotionally?
Maybe consider my mom or grandma.
Well, it happens. Like you had to be the strong one and support them and be encouraging and kind of help kind of glue them together and keep them happy in some way.
Yeah,
you're showing signs of that leaking into your adult life.
Okay.
Because when you said to Sherry posed it to you, get the book, it's great, and you know, that was a good call. Then you said, well, gosh, I'm going to hurt people or waste time. That's a sign of someone, and I'm going to use a technical term here. That's a sign of someone who's fragilizing other people. And fragilizing means to make people fragile who really aren't fragile. And it's sort of like saying, gosh, if I go and date you for seven times, and then I say I'm just not into you, you're going to get depressed and you're going to have a bad life and all this. And that's not – what you're doing is you're making that gal – into a child. You're making them fragile as opposed to, wait a minute, she's a grown-up. She knows there's no outcome guarantees. It may not work out, and she may be sad, but you haven't wasted anybody's time because she made choices too. So I would want you to look back at your previous history of taking too much responsibility for people's feelings and fragilizing them, and just be a nice guy and a good guy, and that's what grown-ups do in dating. And if it doesn't work out, you haven't hurt anybody. You haven't, like, wounded them. You've just made choices.
It's good, John. Great advice.
It is.
Anything you want to chime in on, Sherry?
Well, I think John is right on it, my friend, because what happens is you might end up taking on too much weight, too much baggage in the women that you date, women that are very needy or very dependent or have issues. Can you imagine what it would feel like as a man to be with a woman who is capable and didn't have all these bags dragging behind her and could actually love you and care for you and offer you some nurturing and support?
Hey, hey, hey.
Ooh.
Coming from the mouth of Sherry.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to send you What Do I Do Now, which is about this whole process. But grown-ups take risk with grown-ups. Don't worry about this.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
All right, I'm glad you called. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We're going to talk with somebody who is an exercise specialist, Michelle Spadafora, and I think you'll enjoy hearing her. She's going to talk about weight loss and the program we've got coming up. It's Lose It for Life there November the 3rd through the 6th. And hope that if you have a problem with weight, you're going to come and join us. All right, we'll take this break and come back for the second half of New Life Live. So glad you're here today.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Now, you might wonder what we're talking about at the break, but we were talking about Johnny Carson. And here's a great life lesson. Johnny Carson was great because he could tell a joke that wasn't funny and then come back with something that was funnier than the original joke could have ever been. And you know, so he was able to take a disaster and turn it into something really good. And it's a great lesson for all of us.
There's a passage in Isaiah that speaks to Johnny's situation, his ability.
Well, he's dead. I mean, what?
He is dead, but you know how the Bible talks about beauty for ashes.
Mm.
Like the whole redemptive process, you got something crummy that's not making any sense, and you put good stuff into it, good energy into
right.
it, and it redeems it. So yeah. He was a redemptive guy.
All right, let's talk to Michelle Spadafora, okay? Michelle, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Doing great. We've had a lot of people do exercises and stuff with New Life, and Michelle has exceeded them all. But Michelle, we've got some people coming to Lose It for Life, or maybe they're not coming because they're afraid exercise is going to be a part of it, and they just can't get with it. What do you say to that person?
I just want to encourage you guys to come. We're not going to make you do things that you're uncomfortable with. We're not going to force you to do something, but just come and watch. I can't tell you all the looks on the women's faces who were there at the last one and how they were so excited that they said, I can do this.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right.
You can. We're going to do it at all different levels.
Yes. So. Now, you're going to talk about how everybody at every level can exercise. How does a person exercise who is in a wheelchair and has oxygen tubes in their nose? What do you do for that person? Because I'm afraid they may not come if they think there's exercise.
There's really there's nothing that can stop you from exercising, really, guys. And I know that sounds absurd to some of you.
I agree with you.
When I was at the last Lose It for Life, there was a lady there who was going to be in a wheelchair, and she knew it was coming up, and she was going to be in a wheelchair for 6 months. We put together this workout for her that was just, you know, challenging. It got her moving, but it was something she felt very, very comfortable with.
Yes.
We'll have chairs in the room for those of you who can't get to the ground, and I know that that's, sometimes the case for some
right.
of you, and that's all right. I always encourage people to march in place. Just move. Just
yeah.
keep your body moving, and you will be amazed. If you just keep with it, you'll get stronger.
All right.
Do more.
Well, I know one lady that left a couple of years ago in a wheelchair, and she's the only person I've ever known in a wheelchair gets a trainer.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
That trainer, and she's lost over 100 pounds and looks great,
goodness.
And she's up and happy and walking around. She doesn't have a wheelchair anymore. And she's a phenomenal person. Well, Michelle, we loved having you with us. Thank you for sharing with us. And as you say, don't not come because of exercise. It's going to be great.
Yeah, and it's something that you can leave there, and you really can do it on your own.
Yeah.
You'll be encouraged. We're going to show you exactly what to do, and you can go home and you can keep with it, and you'll get healthier.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, Michelle, I love the fact that you helped her personally come up with a workout that she could do.
Yeah.
I mean, that, where can you go where you can get a personal trainer to give you your own workout?
Okay. Yeah. Here is why you need to come to this, because it's about life change. And listen to this, you won't be the fat person at the conference. Because we've heard from so many people that come to other things that when they go and they're overweight, they're like the overweight person. Well, everybody's going to be overweight. So you won't be the overweight person. So come join us. And Michelle, I can't wait to work with you. Thank you so much.
Looking forward to it.
Okay. Bye-bye. God bless you there. 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com to find out all about that. It really is going to be a great time. Linda from Chicago, Illinois. WYLL is the station. Hi, Linda. Welcome to New Life.
Hi, it's great to get through to you guys.
Thank you.
To you all the time, and happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you 1 month later. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
How could we help?
I'm actually calling on behalf of my mom, who has a sister who is really troubled, my aunt. My aunt is very isolated. She's very afraid, although she doesn't admit it. She actually sleeps with a gun under her pillow. She lives in an urban area, but still. But mainly my mom's concern is how unstable she is. My mother is the only person that she will talk to, and so once in a while my mother will get a very distressing call. And so my question is how we can somehow get my aunt to reach out for help. She turns down every offer to get together. It's just my mother just does not know how to help her sister get help.
Okay.
I have a friend going through this right now with her family, and it's similar, very similar, because it's a sister. And they've done a lot to try to reach out to her, and they're really concerned about her health. So they actually invited the state to come in and to help out. And they sent a social worker out to her house, and the social worker interviewed her. And it is just kind of a link to some other sources and resources. It kind of felt like a step away from the family. So in some ways, the sister responded better because there was less drama in the sense because, you know, she's just like the social worker checking in. But they did check in on her, and there are things available through the state. But, I mean, is she seeing anybody, or is she completely secluded?
No. What's interesting is that my adult cousin lives with her. He's in his 40s, and he doesn't work. He has very serious issues. In the past, he has been suicidal. My mom could hear him in the background about a year ago on the phone. My aunt herself has been suicidal in the past and will say things to my mother like, I would kill myself, but God would send me to hell, so I can't.
Yeah. Well, you know what I'm thinking?
It's irrational.
Wow, so there's two of them living in the house.
Here's a
husband as well.
Oh, she's married.
She's married, but he recently co-signed a loan for a car for another woman.
That's always a bad sign.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the whole thing. I say she's isolated, but she does. She has a husband and a son who
lives there. It sounds like she is totally isolated.
Yes.
And you know, I wrote this book, Walking Into Walls, and one of the walls is lonely isolation. Once you get behind that wall, it is hard for anybody to get you out. And I would say that if she won't go for therapy, you kind of have to bring some therapy to her if you really care about her and you have the time. That is to bring a friend with you who can be an encouragement and be helpful and nibble away at this isolation little by little.
Yeah, and the other piece of that, Linda, is that you'd probably need to coach your mom because yeah. What?
I'm just, I say that because my mother's concern is, oh, they're going to say she needs to go to a mental institution. I can't do that to her. And
yeah, let me kind of
make her do.
Let me kind of walk you past that a tad. A lot of times, especially an older person who has a sibling, they think the best way to love that person is to listen and listen and listen, support, support, mm-hmm. support. And you kind of become the dimpster dumpster for that person. Okay?
That's right. That's what it is.
Right. It doesn't help because what you're doing or what your mom is doing with her sister is she's kind of becoming a 4-hour Prozac, which kind of numbs the pain, and then your aunt doesn't have to change, doesn't have to reach out, doesn't have to get help, doesn't have to solve the crazy husband problem or the son on drugs or whatever his problem. She just feels better because her sister was kind of her anesthetic, right? So you have to coach your mom and say, I'm going to help you with this. Maybe I'll get on the phone with you, but here's a script or whatever. Henry and I wrote a book called How to Have Those Difficult Conversations about this. To tell your mom to say, in essence, Betty, I want to be your sister. I love you. But when you start talking about problems that you're not willing to get any help for, I'm going to have to change the subject if I say, get an 800 number, here's the thing, get the social worker. If I offer a solution and you don't want to do it, I've got to change the subject. Otherwise, she's training her own sister to use her as the anesthetic, and she could do that until the day she dies, and nobody's better. There's a term they use in psychology called the help-rejecting complainer. And the help-rejecting complainer will go forever until somebody in their life says, are you willing to make some changes? I'll take you to the counselor. I'll take you to the social worker. No, 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 I just want to tell you about it. Good friends say, well, then I need to change this subject. And then you're putting pressure back on her to change. Help your mom.
Okay. What John's really talking about was the premise for healing is a choice, that there are a lot of people that look like they're helpless, and they're maybe one choice away from getting on a path to healing. And you know, the thing that you've said, John, that I've heard you say at least once, is that kind of the cure or the solution is to have a path. And a lot of people, they don't know how to develop their own path.
Right.
They don't know what the next one is. And I just think that's so right. You've got to have a path to follow.
A lot better than just being the dimpster dumpster, because they never get better.
Yeah. All right. This is the kind of wisdom that you can count on right here on New Life Live. We're glad you're with us. We're going to take a break. Come back for our final segment right after this. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back, and before we go to our final caller, I want to remind everybody that this is summer, and we're having a tough time, and we always do in summer. And if God's leading you, please support our ministry by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go online at newlife.com. We really do need your help, and we want to help the people that need help, and we can't do it without your support. So please come alongside us and call now, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Our final caller is Patty from Bismarck, North Dakota, listening to KNDR. Hello there, Patty.
Hi, I've listened to you guys for a long time, and I really appreciate you being on the air.
Thank you, Patty. We really appreciate you calling us today. How could we help?
Well, the question I have is, I grew up in a home with alcoholic parents. It was an alcoholic, you know, abusive family. My father died when I was 14, and he died from alcoholism. Mm. Mm. And my mother was, I grew up thinking my mother hated me all my life and thinking that I was adopted, and because she was never encouraging, as she's mean and spiteful to me, and she will say a lot of hateful things to me. And now I moved 2,000 miles away from my family to get away from those dynamics, because I have two brothers who are drug and alcohol addicted.
Okay.
And now I was laid off from my job in 2009, and my family's pressuring me, my aunts and uncles and everybody, you need to move back and take care of your mom, and I want to honor my father and mother like the Bible says, but does that mean I sacrifice my life to do this?
Well, let me ask you a question. What was your conversation like with your mother the last time you talked to her?
Well, the last time that I visited with her, she because I prayed about it. Lord, you know, she's my mom, and I want to treat her with grace. And she's kind of made some snide comment, and I said to her, I said, you know what, Mom? I said, you gave birth to me, and boy, she started in on me. Well, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard, and I just let her go on, and when she got done, I says, but it was the Lord God Almighty who gave me life and set me free, and I said, and when you talk to me like that, you're talking against him.
And so that was your last conversation, and the people around you are expecting you to go and move in with that kind of interaction going on.
Sounds like a death sentence to
me. Yeah, I just don't see it.
It is a death sentence to me.
I think that it's wonderful that you're strong enough to question the logic behind why you would be the one to move in with her.
Yeah. Well, do I need to move closer so I can help take care of her?
Patty, you got to look and see what the Bible says about caring for our parents and get a balanced view. Now, let's look at honor. You know, you brought up honor mom and dad, and that's what the Bible says. Now, remember that adults honor our parents and children obey. All right, you're not a child anymore, so you don't have to obey your brothers or your mom or anybody. You're grown up now. But honor means, if you look in the Hebrew, it means to give weight to someone, to give them respect and weight for, you know, she bore you, and she doesn't sound like a great mom, but, you know, there's a certain, she sat in a certain chair, and you got to honor that. Then you go over to Paul and Timothy, and he says, we're supposed to give a return to our parents, and whoever doesn't do that is, you know, worse than infidel and all that. We're supposed to give something back to them. So we're supposed to look at that and go, what am I supposed to give them that I can continue my mission in life and continue my friendships and what I want to do and finding my own place and my own job, my own healing, all that, and yet help them out? Now, if you said to us, I don't want to even call her or send her a card, I don't care if she ends up on the street, I'd say, that's not honoring your mom, Patty. But you're not saying that. You're saying, well, I want to do something. So you figure out what your time and energy and life and choices are about and figure out what you can do to, I don't know, maybe find a county place for her or help a church help her, tell your brothers to pitch in. Everybody puts in a little bit of money. But you give a return to your mom out of what you have, but you don't ruin your life in doing it. And that's kind of how we make those decisions. It's kind of a – look at it like a formula.
Let me give you some direction here to say to your family that's pressuring you, okay?
Okay.
Tell them there are three reasons that I don't think it's good for me to be the one to move in. You say, number one, I bring out the worst in her.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Don't you think they'd respond to that a little bit better than she always nags me or whatever? But say, I seem to be the personality that brings out the worst in her. In fact, here's the conversation that I had with her the last time I was with her. Second thing, I consulted with Dr. John Townsend, one of the finest psychologists in the country. I talked with him directly, and he suggested it would not be wise for me to do. And thirdly, I don't want to.
And that's absolutely true. I don't.
Okay, so there's your three reasons, three good, solid reasons to give them and not back away from.
And not feel pressured because yeah. I serve God. I follow God and He has a plan for my life.
Well, there's one thing to honor. Yeah, there's one thing to honor your mother. There's another thing to enable and even entice evil to take place, and we don't want you to do that.
You know, it's really important in these situations, as we have the graying of America and all that, to look at Proverbs 4 where it says, above all, to guard your heart. Above all means I want to help everybody,
yeah,
but I can't help everybody. I've got to guard my heart so I can give something back.
Right.
I remember an old preacher once said, a need is not a call.
Yeah,
now, Mom might need that, but it might not be a call for me to move to several states over. I can help. I can talk to people. I can facilitate. But that might not be a call. Mm-hmm. And that one statement helped me more than anything not to make dumb kind of mistakes.
Well, sometimes you just need to know that it's okay to not take on the whole burden. Like right now, it sounds like there's some expectations because she's the only girl in the family.
Right.
And sometimes the only girls get kind of slated mm-hmm. for that.
Yeah, they do.
And she's single and she's in need herself. So it's like shoo-in. They kind of all look at it saying, you're the one. But for her to say, verbally put out there and say, I am not the one. Mm-hmm. We have a problem here.
There you go.
Yeah.
We need to figure out a path, but it's not going to be me. Yeah. And I just need you guys to know that.
That sounds honoring to me.
And just because she's out of work doesn't mean she's not going to get another job. You
right.
know? It doesn't mean she's done forever.
Right.
All right. We're almost out of time. So glad that she called. I'm going to send her a copy of Healing is a Choice. I hope that you'll like that.
And Mom Factor.
And the Mom Factor. And
I always wanted to throw in boundaries.
Well, there is a boundary.
We could give her the Holy Trinity,
Trinity,
three books.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, I know that there are many, many situations that there's always something new that comes up every single day here. And I don't know what you're struggling with, but if we can help you in any way, we really do want to. Maybe it's a counselor. It could be a book or one of our perspectives on a particular subject. So many resources that we have. I think three of the best that are coming up. One is Sherry's workshop, Women in the Battle, for those that have been affected by pornography of a spouse or boyfriend or fiance, something like that.
Come. We want to have you come there.
Healing is a Choice. New Life Weekend is in July, and then in November, Lose It for Life. And we did this last year. It was amazing, the results that came from Lose It for Life. So if you've been struggling, we want to help you. My thanks to Dr. John Townsend. Thank you, John. Love doing this with you. Dr. Sherry Denham, thank you. Love doing this with you. And we love you. You know, we pray for you every week because we care about you. And I hope that you sense that. We want to connect with you. Stay in touch with us. Call us. Write us. We'll get back to you. It may take us a while, but we will because we really do care about the situation that you're in now. We'll see you next time here on New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry.
to make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.